Amen. I am thankful that His grace is sufficient for us. I'm also thankful that His love will never run out. The Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. What a promise. What a great thing to be reminded of tonight. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach to you tonight. Let's all turn to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua chapter 8. I was trying to think of some funny story or joke to tell you tonight. I could not think of any. I heard a COVID joke the other day, and I decided not to say that tonight because I didn't want that to spread around. And then it would take 24 to 72 hours to find out if you got it, and I thought we didn't have time for that tonight. That's another joke. It's a pandemic here tonight. So I got all kinds of jokes. Joshua chapter 8. Let's stand together and move on from that a few moments. Okay. Joshua chapter 8. I'm just going to read the first two verses of Joshua chapter 8 tonight. It says, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee, and arise, go up to Ai. See, I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai, and his people, and his city, and his land. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee in ambush for the city behind it." And we will stop right there. Lord, we love you, God. We thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for the privileges to be in church tonight. Lord, to be under the preaching of your word. Lord, whether we're here or at home, God, I thank you that your word is available to us. Lord, I'm thankful that you can speak to us, help us, guide us each and every day of our life. And I pray, God, we don't take that for granted. And God, I pray tonight that you'd be with me as I preach. Fill me with your spirit. Use me as your vessel. And Lord, just speak to each and every one of us tonight through your word. We ask all this in your name. Amen. As we look here in Joshua chapter 8, we find the Israelites near a little city called Ai. And from all indications, as we look here at Joshua chapter 7, Joshua chapter 8, the city should have been a pushover, someone that the Israelites could easily conquer. And as we look in Joshua chapter 7, we see that just previously they had defeated Jericho. They had conquered that city with the help of God. And Joshua sees this small city, Ai, there in the distance and decides it's time for them to press on and to conquer them as well. And as they went, we find there in chapter 7 that they were defeated. 36 of their soldiers died. They fled there from the soldiers of Ai. And we look at that passage and we ask, why did that happen? One of the things we find there in chapter 7 is that we don't find any evidence that Joshua sought the Lord on the move to conquer Ai at that time. We don't see instruction for that to happen there at that point. And then we also obviously know a very well-known story that there was a man by the name of that Achan in the camp that had taken some of the goods for his own. And we looked there, it was very clear when they conquered Jericho that God wanted them to destroy Jericho, the inhabitants, and he wanted all the goods in Jericho not to be taken for themselves, but to be dedicated back to him. And that was something they were clearly instructed to do, but Achan, in a weak moment, took things and hid them in his camp. That brought defeat to the Israelites in Ai. And that brought great destruction to his family at that moment. You know, the Lord used that first battle of Ai to teach Israel the importance of holiness and seeking God's will in every situation. And the Bible tells us, Proverbs chapter 16, that pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. And one of the most valuable lessons that Israel learned was the truth that they needed God in every situation. They needed his presence. They needed his power if they were going to defeat their enemies, if they were going to walk in victory. They needed God on their side. They could not do it on their own. If you're a child of God, if you're saved, you know something about battles in life. You know that there's three powerful enemies in our daily life: the world, the flesh, the devil, as we find in the Word of God. And each and every one of those things are out to destroy the child of God. Each of those things can destroy the life of the child of God if we are not yielding to, obeying, and trusting in God and his power each and every day, living in his will. We can find ourselves defeated. We look at the city of Ai. That word Ai means a heap of ruins. And what a great way to describe our flesh. It's just a heap of ruins. Paul wrote in Romans, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." And just like Israel did there in chapter 7, we often lose battles in our flesh, but by God's help, we can learn how to defeat the AI in our life. I don't know what kind of battles that you may be facing tonight. I don't know what you're fighting in your flesh, but I know that there are battles in each and every one of our lives. I don't know the battles you're fighting tonight, but I do know that every child of God can experience the victory in their life. There's so many things going on in our world, and we look around, we watch the news, we hear on the radio, we see the articles, we just observe the things around us. Our life is not the same right now. Nothing is like it was at this time, and there's so many experiences, there's hobbies, there's just different things of life that were part of our everyday living that are not there right now, and with that comes many problems in the flesh. As Pastor preached last week on anxiety and the worry, the fear that we may be facing as a Christian, and we look at those things that used to fill the time in our life are no longer filling them, so we're filling them with other things, and if we're not careful, the flesh can be overtaken in many different areas of our life. But as a Christian, we have a promise of victory. But there's some things that we need to do to have the victory. The first thing we see here tonight is the promise of victory given to the children of Israel there in verse 8, chapter 8, verse 1, excuse me. It said, "The Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Arise, go to Ai. See, I have given unto thy hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, his land." There was a promise of triumph to Joshua and the children of Israel. Now the Lord comes to him and he speaks to him and says, "Joshua, go to Ai," and he promises them that things will be different this time than they were just days before. He assures Joshua and the children of Israel that the victory was going to be theirs. And it's interesting to see how the Lord called them to return to the place of their greatest defeat. You know, and God knew that they needed to overcome Ai before they could move on and conquer the rest of Canaan. So he gave them this task to go back and to get the victory with him. And God speaks to Joshua there and says, "Joshua, fear not. I have given unto you the king of Ai. I know you have lost previously, but now it's yours. I'm giving it to you. I will give you the victory." And there's people listening tonight, people in this auditorium tonight, that may have fallen and lost a battle in your life recently, or there's an obstacle, a trial, something there that has brought fear to your life. And with God, we have a promise of victory, just like we see here in this passage. You know, God has made some tremendous promises to his children, and we do not have to live in defeat. We know in the book of Romans that we have a promise that we're no longer slaves to sin, the flesh and the devil. It says, "It shall not have dominion over you." You're not under the law, but under grace. If 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, all things become new." The 2 Peter speaks of the divine nature that has been given to us and those great exceeding and precious promises. We are indwelled by the Holy Spirit as Christians. What an incredible thought. And a few years ago, we had that Sunday school series on the Holy Spirit, and that was something that really changed my view on the Spirit of God and what it can do for us as Christians. And the Holy Spirit is not an object, it is a person. It is God dwelling within you. And each and every day we have access to the Spirit of God. What a promise that is. Yeah. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57 says, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We have promise after promise after promise of the help of our God. An assured victory through him. You know, the Lord did not save us to leave us defeated. I'm glad that the story doesn't end in Joshua chapter 7, but there was actually victory over the enemies that had conquered them. God didn't save us with the intent for us to be enslaved by the flesh. He saved us to set us free, to enable us to walk in victory. There was a promise of triumph available to every Christian. There's a promise of triumph. There's a promise of blessing. He continues on there in verse 2, telling him what they're going to do. He's about to give them the plan, and they're going to find out later on that there is bounty they're able to take from what is going on here. We notice that God tells them to go conquer Ai, but this time they're allowed to take the spoils for themselves. I love the song, Trust and Obey. It says there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We know the greatest blessings, the greatest joy in life comes from doing the things that God has instructed us to do. The life and the will of God is, there's no better life than the life and the will of God. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 37 tonight. Psalm chapter 37. As we're looking here at this story in the book of Joshua, what a sad thought it is to think that if Achan would have waited just a few more days, he could have all the riches that he was desiring. But instead, he went ahead of God, he grabbed for himself what God had told him not to, and there was a price that was paid. You know, if we just wait on God, and wait for God's direction in our life, there's so many things available to us, so many things that God wants to allow to come into our life that we'd be so much better off with. But how often do we take our life into our own hands? How often do we try to rush decisions in our life and possibly miss out on blessings that God has for us? We need to learn to wait on the Lord. Psalm chapter 37, verse 34. It says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. Wait and keep his way. Then he'll exalt thee. Wait in the will of God. Wait and obey the words of God. Do every day the things that God has called us to do, and then he will lead us to the better land. Then he will bring those blessings into our life. Then he will continue to bring the joy. He will continue to provide. Just as we find here in Joshua chapter 8. There's true blessings and joy in waiting on God. We see first of all here the promise of victory. And secondly tonight, we see the fulfillment of victory. Go back to our text there. Joshua chapter 8 verse 2. There at the end it says, lay thee in ambush for the city behind it. Verse 3, so Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose out 30,000 mighty men of valor and sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, behold, ye shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city. Go not very far from the city, but be ye all ready. And I and all the people that are with me will approach unto the city, and it shall come to pass when they come out against us as at the first, that we will flee before them. God had given Joshua the plan of exactly what he wanted him to do in this battle. He gathered 30,000 men. He wanted them to wait behind the city. And Joshua and his choice men were going to go in and draw the soldiers of Ai out. And as they did that, they would be surrounded, ambushed, and be easily defeated, doing it the way that God wanted them to do it. You know, Israel, just a few chapters before this, learned at Jericho what happens when they did things God's way. I can't think of any military leader that would to defeat an enemy would just decide to walk around the city seven times and blow trumpets and everything's going to be okay. But when they did it God's way, God blessed. God gave the victory. And as we look here at the Word of God, we're sometimes baffled at the decisions that are made, but then we look at our life and realize that we've made some pretty shameful decisions in our walk with God, just like we find here, and we have no room really to judge because we are flesh just like they were. But after God had blessed them as he did, they took things into their own hands instead of letting God handle and doing it according to the plan of God. You know, when we fight the battle God's way, we will not fail. But when we do it our way, we're headed for trouble. There's no other plan that will work for the Christian except doing it the way God has for us to do it. You know, God's given us a spiritual support system. He's given us his word. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we look in the book of Psalms, and it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And as we look in the Bible, we have a promise of what his word can do for the Christian. It is a tool, it is a support system, it is a guide in our everyday life. But how often do we neglect the word of God? How often do we neglect the direction of God? We need his word. We need prayer. The Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. The Bible says that we have not because we ask not. The Bible says that we need to let all our requests be made known unto God. Cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. There is so much available to us through prayer. We need faithful church attendance. We need constant fellowship of other Christians. We need to surround ourselves with godly people, with godly influence. We need to be in the house of God under the preaching of the word of God to be the Christian that God wants us to be. If we don't do these things that God's instructed us to do, how can we win the battle? Been finding ourselves branching out in our TV ventures with being in the house so much. And we're seeing some outdoor shows and people that are just trying to survive. And I've been kind of fascinated with wildlife. And I read an article on moose. I never thought I'd be reading that. There's no sports, so I'm reading about wildlife. And one thing about moose there in the fall is they fight for territory. They fight for dominance. And they will go head to head, and just as many other animals will, and kind of fight to see which one is the more dominant creature, and they'll fight until an antler is broken or until one falls that can no longer go. The fight is won in those moments there in the fall, but the fight is actually won in the spring and summer when they're eating. And it's more likely the moose that is in the best environment, that has the best food, that is continuing to fill themselves and get heavy and get all the nutrient it needs for its antlers to be strong, the battle's actually won in the summer. There's a lesson in that comparison for us. Spiritual battles are going to come. And the battle is not just won in that moment, it is won in our decisions we make every single day on how we're going to feed ourselves, on the spiritual diet that we are taking in. Will we be victorious or will we fall? Much depends on our victory of what you are doing right now. He gave them the plan for victory. He also gave them the help for victory. Verse 18. Because the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thine hand toward Ai, for I will give it unto thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly, and they ran as soon as they had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city, took it and hasted it and set it on fire. The victory was very easy for them. Israel fought the battle, but God gave the victory. You know, the first time Israel went to Ai, they did it in their own power, but this time they're doing it according to God's plan and with the help of God's power, and the results are extremely different. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. You know, the battle with our flesh will not be won by your ability to say no to sin, because eventually we'll stop saying no. But the battle will not be won because you are more powerful than the temptations you face, because you're not. The battle will be won because you are fighting in the power of God and not your own. There's only one way for the battle to be won. We need to realize that we can't, but he can. And the Bible tells us, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with that temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And 1 John chapter 4, what a promise here. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know, the only way that we will see victory in our Christian life is by going through the power of God. And you may be listening tonight, and you may be defeated. You may feel weighed down. You may feel overcome. Can I ask you, whose power are you living in tonight? Are you doing it God's way? There is help available. We see the plan of victory, the help of victory. We also see the experience of victory. Look there at verse 24 of our text, back to Joshua chapter 8 there. It says, and it came to pass when Israel had made an end of the slaying of all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, of the wilderness wherein they chased them, and when they were all fallen on the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned unto Ai and smote it with the edge of the sword. And so it was that all that fell that day, both of men and women, were 12,000, even all the men of Ai. For Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear, until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. It's quite a bit different than it was just a chapter before. These verses that tell us they trusted in the Lord's plan and won. And God did what he said he did. You know, I'm excited tonight. I'm grateful tonight that we are serving the same God that we find in the Word of God. He hasn't changed. He's the same God that he's always been. And we find in Romans that what he had promised, he's also able to perform. I love the song our choir sings, our God is victorious. He always wins. You know, there's no temptation tonight that you cannot overcome through God. Promise after promise. There's no trial that you're facing tonight that is too hard to get through with God's help. There's no circumstance you may find yourself in, whether it's with your family, whether it's with your job situation, whether it's what you want to do for the Lord, that you cannot get through because of his help. I'm thankful tonight that the victory is promised and that it's ours. With his help, God gave them the victory. And some things happened here at the end that I want to share with you very quickly. And there's three things we see happen surrounding this battle that kept them victorious. Three things that were done here that allow the victory to be permanent. And the first thing that we find is death. We look here in chapter 27 through 29, and we find that every person was killed just as God had commanded them to do it. They did not leave a single person alive in Ai. From the king down to the lowest servant, they killed them as God had commanded them to do so. The enemy was totally overcome. I want to remind you tonight that just because you win a spiritual battle, the flesh is still there. And we also know that when a person gets saved, their flesh is not put to death at that moment. Your flesh is still there, but every day we need to die to self. Let's all look at Romans chapter 6 very quickly. We need to understand some things about the flesh if we're to have the victory over it every day. We are to reckon the flesh dead daily. The secret to victory over the flesh is seeing the flesh as God sees it, to reckon it dead. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I love this part. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. We need to die to our flesh. We need to crucify our flesh daily. You know, when we The fact is, when we fall into sin, we most of the time we usually walk into it with our eyes wide open. Many times we sin because we don't flee from the sin. Many times we sin because we allow the flesh and its lust to control us. We sin because we don't yield to the Spirit of God in everything that we do. And we're told to flee those things that tempt us, as the Bible says in 2 Timothy. But many times it just takes over. There's a daily battle in our flesh that must happen. We must die to self daily. And it was extremely important for the Israelites' victory to make sure that those deaths took place. You know, I'm thankful that one day the battle of flesh will end. One day we'll be in heaven with God eternally, and we won't have to worry about that anymore. But God has clearly explained to us in His Word that we need to trust Him, obey, and make no provision for the flesh. There was death. There was also worship. We look there in verse 30. It says, "Then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal." They built an altar. They wrote the words, the law of God down there in the presence of the people. And that altar was a place of surrender. That altar was a place of sacrifice. That altar was a place of worship for them. And it was to remind them that everything that happened did not happen because of anything they did, but because of what God had promised and what God had done. And in our daily life, worship must be there. It's one of the biggest things missing from Christians at this time in our country and in our society right now is true worship. Many haven't been able to be at church as we want, and we have things missing that we use to worship God more fully and as it pleases God. And there's things that we can't do at this moment that have affected many of our daily worship. And may we not get comfortable with those things missing and decide just not to worship God at all until those things are back. May we find other ways to worship God. May we continue to sing praises unto Him and to spend those times in prayer with Him and to be in His Word and to remind ourselves every day of who He is and who we are. The path to lasting victory needs to begin every day at the altar. To begin every day with worship and acknowledging who your God is. They worshiped. And the last thing they did, they surrendered. Let's all turn to Deuteronomy chapter 27. And we'll be done. We look here at the end of Joshua chapter 8, those of you that may be taking notes, verse 30 down to 35, we see that after the enemy had been taken out and had been preserved, they finished by doing what God had told them to do in Deuteronomy chapter 27. And what God had commanded them to do, and we see that they did, half of the nation, they traveled 30 miles, half of the nation went to Mount Ebal and went up the mountain, the other half went to Mount Gerizim, and the Levites stood in the valley between the two mountains. And I never spent much time looking at this, but as I was looking at it, I was excited just to wonder what it must have been like to be there at this moment. And as half the nation was on one mountain, half the nation was on the other, the Levites there in the middle, there were questions and law that the Levites would read. And then as they read these things, from both mountains, they would reply amen and acknowledgement of the law of God and of what it is to be under the blessings of God. And just to give you a picture of what was going on here, we look here at verse 14 of Deuteronomy chapter 27. It says, "And the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image, an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsmen, and putteth it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say," and from both sides they would shout amen. He said, "Cursed be he that setteth light by his father and mother," and all the people shall say, "Amen." And they went on for some time doing these things and reminding themselves of the instructions that God had given them and what life of blessings and a cursed life would look like. It was to remind them of what God would bless and what God would not bless. It was a affirmation of their commitment to live by the word of God every day. What a sight that must have been. And a very important thing in each and every one of our lives is not only to die to self, not only to worship God, but to each and every day surrender to what God has told you to do. Are we doing that? I was reminded of just a couple days ago, is the anniversary of JFK Jr. and his death there with his wife and sister-in-law on a plane. They had left New York City and were going back to their family home in Massachusetts, and he was a licensed pilot, but because of some things, their flight was delayed until dark, and he had not yet been cleared for instrument flight. But they left anyways, and as he took off into the darkness, we come to find out the plane never reached its destination. All three passengers were killed in the crash, and investigators, in looking at the circumstances, determined that it was most likely caused by a disorientation from the flight over open water with no landmarks, no visible horizon. And his lack of experience, they said, may have led him to trust what he thought he was seeing more than what his instrument panel was telling him. And as we look at our world, and as things are not as they have always been, so many things are not familiar to us. Our routines, our entertainment, our hobbies, the daily living. And may we be determined tonight not to make decisions based on what we see, what we feel, what we hear. Because if we do, mistakes will be made. Even though nothing is as it has always been right now, the enemy is still the same, and he is seeking whom he may devour. So I want to ask you tonight, what are you doing to ensure victory? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm thankful that as Christians, we are assured victory through God. We have the plan. What are you doing to ensure it? Lord, we love you, God. We thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for this very clear illustration, example we find here in the book of Joshua. I pray that you'd use it in our lives. We ask these things in your name. Amen.